The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Episode 387, ETFs and index funds and bears. Oh my!
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Woo! I sang before we officially recorded, so
that's all that was in my head.
Yeah, I'm sorry I threw you off. Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill,
and we are not singers. We are podcasters who are just passionate about helping you understand how to spend money with intention, and then where to put that money that's going to make the biggest impact for you. And that's the focus of today's episode.
Not just saving, but investing, yes. Which is usually one of the biggest areas of mystery for many of us. Once we kind of get these other things down, we've got a spending plan, we're paying down debt, and then there's this whole looming ETFs and index funds and bears. Oh my.
Yes, especially the bears.
The bears.
The bears are a big one, right? So today we are expanding on our episode on the Roth IRA challenge. You have about a month left to open and invest in your Roth IRA for 2023. There are so few times that you get a grace period from the government, and this is one of them. And so we want you to take full advantage if you have not maxed out your Roth IRA for 2023. We also have the episode on, and we re-aired investing or saving your first 100K. So this is just a continuation on that. And we're going to try to demystify some of these terms and make them accessible to you.
Yeah, we're going to try.
And to ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. I am actually, this is a little bit of a side note, but worth it. Started to read Psychology of Money because you've been recommending it to me for approximately 6 years. And in either the intro or the first chapter, he's talking about how new, relatively, investing even is, mm-hmm. and the stock market. And I think it really helped to normalize why there can be so much confusion around it, mystery around it, and in part because it just hasn't existed for that long. Even your best investors are still baby in their understanding because this whole system is relatively in its infancy stage, mm-hmm. and still developing. Like Roth IRAs were not a thing until 1998.
Yes.
1998. We were already born. Hate to break it to you. We were
nine.
Well into our Yes.
Yes, we were nine.
9 years old before. So this all has been happening within our lifetime. So just to kind of help lay the framework, I think that was a helpful thing that that book pointed out. And also, and we'll talk about this, you know, ETFs are a relatively new thing. We are unfamiliar with it, but that doesn't mean that we have to feel bad about that. We're in part unfamiliar because it's new,
yeah,
in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm.
And it is good to be wary of new things, especially in the financial industry. But these are some of the things that have stood the test of time. And with technology as it is, it doesn't take a long time for something to stand the test of time. So these are things that we trust, we use, and we are going to talk about them today as they pertain to your Roth IRA specifically. We're not here to tell you if a Roth IRA is the best move for you. We're just here if you've already decided that the Roth IRA is a good move for you and you've just been putting it off, or maybe haven't invested as much as you can. Maybe you're getting a tax refund this month and you're looking for a really good place to put that money, then that's what we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. But first, this episode is brought to you by International Women's Day.
Woo-hoo!
One time I made a joke to a guy that I celebrate Exclusive Women's Day on May 9th, which is my birthday. And he sent me flowers on International Women's Day because he misunderstood me. So if anyone has ever bought you flowers, you should get a high yield savings account. even if it's you who bought flowers for you. FrugalFriendsPodcast.com/CIT is our current recommendation for a high yield savings account, but it's good to have some savings.
I have so many questions. Yeah. Love CIT, love high yield savings accounts. When did this happen? Was this recent?
No, it wasn't recent.
Was this like a dating experience or was this a colleague who was just like trying to be?
It was an ex-boyfriend who did not want to be an ex. And maybe that's why I made the joke, like the joke in bad taste. But that's
amazing.
That's what that happened. Anyways, a couple good episodes to queue up after this would be episode 361, What Are Mutual Funds and What Do They Cost? We briefly touch on ETFs and index funds in there because they are relevant. And then episode 241, Divesting, Banking Sustainably. We talk a lot about sustainable banking, credit unions, and high yield savings accounts. So those are some of the things that are helpful to know in the realm of managing your money. Again, we're not a podcast we're not a general personal finance podcast where we talk about all of the different things about investing and managing money. We try to specifically focus in on conscious consumption and intentional spending, but we don't consume consciously and spend intentionally for no reason. Mm-hmm. There are reasons behind why we do it, and we can pursue more of those when we are managing our money efficiently. And investing is one of the most efficient ways to manage your money. And this is what goes into those investment accounts, are the index funds and the ETFs.
So this first article is from NerdWallet, and it's titled Index Funds versus ETFs, What's the Difference? So ETF stands for Exchange Traded Funds, and index funds just is their index funds. And really, all of these articles are saying there's a lot more similarities than there are differences, but there are some differences to be taking into consideration when thinking through what's the best for me when it comes to investing. I will also say a lot of these articles will talk about index funds and ETFs in the sense of just regular day-to-day investing. And so we are specifically bringing the lens of investing for retirement. Mm-hmm. And I did find a sidebar helpful article from Investopedia that I'm putting into the outline. We're not going to go through this one, but I do think it's worth talking that, yes, you could just invest in an ETF, invest in an index fund, and it not be a part of your retirement plan. But for us, when we talk about investing on this podcast, we're primarily talking about investing for retirement. So what you can include in your portfolio for your Roth IRA, for your 401k, and Investopedia did a helpful article on, is an ETF a good fit for the 401k plan? And I will say my biggest takeaway from that article is them saying there's just a lack of familiarity with ETFs, that they can be a really good option. They're becoming more and more a part of people's 401k portfolios, but people may not choose it because they're relatively new. They can introduce some complexities in record keeping that may require some different operational processes for 401k plans that I imagine we can ebb and flow with, but that the popularity of ETFs is growing and will probably continue to grow. So it's worth considering. It's worth becoming knowledgeable now on this possibility, because we don't want to choose something just because it's familiar if there is other options out there that could be beneficial to us. So I just wanted to state that at the onset, but then to be able to talk about index funds are a bit more familiar to us than ETFs are, but let's talk about the differences. So the first one listed in this Nerd Wallet article is that the minimum investment required for ETFs and index funds are different. ETFs will have a lower minimum investment than an index fund. Most of the time, it just takes investing in an ETF the amount needed to buy a single share. And sometimes brokers will even offer fractional shares. So that's going to be less than an index fund. Both are still relatively, quote unquote, affordable to your average investor, but ETFs might even come at a lower minimum investment required.
Yeah. I, in the past, have always talked about index funds because they are the thing I know the most about. But as I have grown, I've talked to more people, I've done more research, I've realized that because ETFs and index funds are so similar, the differences are very, we'll talk about the differences, but they're so small. And the ETFs, even with the differences, may even have the edge. But the minimum investment required, I tell you, is the number one reason that I'm starting to recommend ETFs to people who are getting started. And obviously, we're not financial advisors. We can't tell you what to invest in. This is all just from our experiences and our opinions. So it is really this minimum investment required. And so, yes, Fidelity does offer some index funds with a low barrier to entry to get in. I think it's like $10. But with ETFs, you can start with $1 and you can do it at any brokerage. It is really a game changer, I think. And so that's why we're doing more research on them and, telling other people to do more research on them, because the barrier to entry is a lot lower. And I think when you're talking to your friends about investing, which you absolutely should, I think we should all be talking to our friends, our family, strangers. We should all be talking about investing to each other, whatever we know, not feeling scared like we can't talk about it because we're not, professionals. This is accessible to everyone. It becomes more accessible the more people talk about it. And so even if you have index funds, talking to people who may not have started investing yet and knowing that difference will make it easier for other people to get started investing.
Yeah.
So the next difference is capital gains tax. So this is, again, this is something more, I think, relevant to regular investing. But outside of retirement, but ETFs are more tax efficient than index funds by nature, and so this is a very it's a very minor difference, but again, it gives them a little bit of an edge over an index fund. So when you sell an ETF, you're typically selling it to another investor who's buying it, and the cash is coming directly from them. So capital gains taxes on that sale are yours and yours alone to pay. To get cash out of an index fund, you technically must redeem it from the fund manager, who will then have to sell securities and generate cash to pay you. So there's a middleman. It doesn't mean that the fund is actively managed. It means there's just a middleman selling the index fund, like to when in the buying and the selling of it. So when this sale is done for a gain, the net gains are passed on to every investor. Because remember, an index fund is a basket that it's a mutual fund. An ETF is not a mutual fund, but an index fund is. And so everybody's mutually funding this index fund. So those capital gains taxes are passed on to every investor that have shares in the fund, meaning you could owe capital gains taxes without ever selling a single share. This happens less frequently with index funds, with actively managed mutual funds. So that's kind of where there's a little edge on actively managed funds. But I think the fees on actively managed funds definitely negate the tax savings. Mm. But from a tax perspective, ETFs generally have the upper hand over index funds. We are, you know, most people, I would think, that buy index funds are buy and hold. So really the only selling you would have to worry about is, you know, people in retirement. That's theoretically, obviously that's not reality, but so it's a minor edge, still an edge though.
Yeah. The third kind of difference between an ETF and an index fund is the cost of owning them. That said, both can be very inexpensive from an expense ratio perspective. So the article describes that you can easily find funds that cost less than 0.05% of your investment per year. But another thing to consider is looking for trading commission. So if the broker does charge a commission for trades, you'll pay a flat fee every time you buy or sell an ETF, which could then lead to eating into some of your returns if you are trading regularly. And I think that that's a big if, because ETFs, one of the things I was reading about is that a big difference between them and index funds is ETFs allow intraday trading, meaning it's regularly being assessed for value and can be traded throughout the day, whereas index funds are only assessed at the end of the day. So that can lead to higher risk, higher reward with an ETF. Of course, some downsides to that as well, but that's a big if. If you're trading it regularly, then you could have some of those trading commissions eat into your cost. But if you're just putting it part of your retirement investment portfolio, then you might not see too many high fees happening there.
Yeah.
They also describe that when buying ETFs, you'll also incur a cost called, and I got to really enunciate this one, the bid ask spread. And I do enjoy reading that.
We are nine. It is all the way back to
when
the Roth IRA was invented.
Yes. So you won't see this when purchasing index funds. And it is usually very small. Their bid-ask spread is pretty small. But if you're buying high volume, broad market ETFs, it's going to be a cost to consider.
Yeah. So you've got your tax efficiency over on your ETFs, but then you've got your no bid ask spread over on index funds. These are very minor differences, which makes them so similar. So I'll just cover some of the similarities that NerdWallet comes up with. And these are, they're very similar, right? So diversification, you can get identical funds in index or ETF. So you can get the S&P 500. You can get target date funds now as ETFs. You can get a total stock market or a total bond fund. Both are available in ETFs and index funds. Second is that they're both very low cost. They're passively managed. And so the investments go with the index they're named after. So S&P 500 is just a fund made up of all of the stocks in the S&P 500, all the companies in the S&P 500 at the ratio that they make up the 500, the biggest 500. So again, they're going to be low cost as compared to an actively managed fund. And then three is strong long-term returns. And this is what we love. We're not day traders. We don't talk about trading options, Forex. We're not here to get rich quick off the stock market. We're here to get rich slow. And we do want to get rich. So that's why we buy and hold. We know that time in the market is more important than timing the market. And both index funds and ETFs have a long-term track record. So this article is saying the annual total returns of the S&P 500 has averaged around 10% over the last 90 years. And since ETFs and index funds, you can buy an S&P 500 in each, that's kind of the return that you're going to see there. So actively managed funds, they may perform better in the short term because fund managers make investment decisions based on current market conditions. But the improbability that those fund managers will make consistent market beating decisions over a long period of time, the studies show that it just can't be maintained. So it's just like us in our lives, you know, like we're going to win a lot. But we're going to lose just as much, you know, no matter how hard we try, no matter how good we are at what we do. You just can't nail it every time.
And the dodgeball's always going to hit you in the face on the playground.
Sometimes.
At least once.
Hopefully not every time.
At least once for you.
Stop, you know.
I wasn't even playing. I'd be over on the slide. Dodgeball in the face.
But yeah, so that's kind of the similarities and the differences, mainly to show you that the differences are very negligible. They are almost identical.
And I will add, both ETFs and index funds bundle together many individual investments, such as stocks or bonds, into a single investment. So that's the diversification piece that you were talking about, Jen, when that is something that's important, something that we recommend both do that.
We've been there, done that with overpriced wireless providers and their fine print contracts. But with Mint Mobile, their wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's it. No catch.
Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
So you can say bye-bye to that overpriced phone plan you've been using and bring your own phone, your same number, and all your contacts with you right on over to any Mint Mobile plan.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/frugal. That's mintmobile.com/frugal. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/frugal. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
You might remember from our budget apps episode, we mentioned Monarch Money as being one of the best apps for people switching from Mint.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
The switch from budgeting with Mint to Monarch is easy, since Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint, keeping all of your tags and categories intact. It's also super customizable. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners on this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial. Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards, a free flight, a room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Okay, this next article is bringing in the bears. Oh my.
So this is not exactly what I had in mind when I named the episode, but I am so glad that Goldie brought it in, because we're not in a bear market right now, and that's fine. But very recently, you yourself have experienced a bear market.
You're talking to me?
Everyone, everybody listening to this.
Sorry. You just like emphasized you yourself. And I'm like, oh, okay. Tell me about me.
Jill, everybody listening to this has experienced a bear market in your lifetime, whether you knew it or not. And so these are part of normal market cycles. And so we'll just touch a smidgen about bear markets. And it can be, and so these are what scare people away from investing, right? Mm-hmm. That's why people don't, you don't want to put all your chips in the stock market basket because of this right here, the bears. Mm. And so we just want to maybe take away a little bit of the fear associated with it by giving you a few facts.
I mean, this was my experience before we did our Roth IRA challenge episode, and we did talk about this, so I would definitely recommend going back to that episode. But I have essentially only been investing in a bear market. Now I'm starting to see some returns, but you know, I'd been investing for 3 years and I'm like, Jen, it's not doing what I want to see it do. This really kind of sucks. What am I going to tell the people who listen to this podcast episode? Because it's not going that great for me. And so this is what we're talking about. These are the ebbs and flows of the stock market and what to do if that is the case and the climate when you are beginning to invest, but also what to do, how to maintain yourself in the midst of when we will inevitably hit that point again. Mm-hmm. And so the first point that they're making about this is what you just said, Jen. Don't go all in all at once. Don't put all your money into one singular place, probably ever, but especially when you're in a bear market, when the stock market isn't doing phenomenally. And the problem with a bear market is that you can never tell whether you're at the beginning, middle, or end of it. None of us can tell the future, but just being aware of diversification forever and always.
Yeah. And that's why we love ETFs and index funds, is because they do offer that diversification. You can get a total stock market ETF or index fund, and you're invested in literally every company that trades in the New York Stock Exchange. Then you can get an international stock market fund that includes all the international companies that trade on the stock exchange. That's like Samsung, Toyota, a bunch of companies that you use on a regular basis are not American companies. And then you can get a bond fund, which is just, you know, kind of being a debt collector. So there are a lot of options for diversifications that are made really easy when you choose these funds. And so that kind of can protect you from going all in. But then again, you don't want to go all in all at once either. So you need to keep an emergency fund not invested. Keep it in a high-yield savings account where you're not going to be worried about if the market's down and you need your emergency fund, you're not going to be worried about losing money. So that's a really important thing. You need to have your emergency fund in a high-yield savings account, not invested. So the next part is build a portfolio small chunks at a time. So this is something that ETFs really allow you to do. If you only have maybe $50 a month to invest, it allows you to build a more diversified portfolio in smaller chunks. When you're worried about being in a bear market, when the stock market's going down, a lot of people will say that it's on sale, right? So that is something you'll hear a lot, especially in the financial independence community. It's really fun to say when stocks are going up or when stocks start to go down, but the average bear market is about 14 months. So it's over a year, and we definitely experienced that in 2022. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We experienced just, you know, a whole year of really poor returns. And that's the average, 14 months. So it's fun to say that, but in reality, our behavior can make us feel differently. Mm-hmm. So it's still important to take advantage of that quote unquote sale when times are rough. And when times are good, like they are right now, to be putting even like more in, knowing that my natural propensity is when we do again enter into another bear market, which is inevitable, I'm going to want to put less in. And so maybe you're fearless. Maybe you go all in the bear market, and that's great. If you are not fearless and you know, I want to put a little less in now, when we're in good times, like right now, we want to be putting more in. And that's another reason we're doing this Roth IRA challenge right now in 2024, because the Fed is about to lower interest rates. And what that's going to translate to is, it's going to, I can't speculate on the economy or the stock market. I don't feel comfortable.
But do it.
I mean, comfortable actually recording myself doing that. Yeah, I'm going to get in over my head. But it has the potential to get some really great returns this year if you're doing your investing in the first half of the year. So that is my prediction. I cannot say that.
We'll see. We'll check back in.
I'm not even a professional stock trader, so I'm not even gonna be right half the time, you know? But that
email Jen. You can send all your emails to Jen.
Please do. So that's kind of what we're saying is it's in a good time right now. Mm-hmm. So if you're the kind of person that's gonna want to invest less in a bear market, then take advantage of the good sunny times right now.
Because finances are also emotional. We can't just know things and act on it. There are so many other factors that come into play. So, but equipping ourselves with some of this knowledge that can help temper some of the emotional decisions that aren't going to be great for us is excellent. So they're talking about when in a bear market, focusing on positioning your portfolio for the next bull market. And when you're in a bull market, take advantage of the fact that things are going well, but be aware that there will be dips again and just kind of sustaining through that storm. Yeah.
Even in bull markets, there are corrections that where the stock market will go down, you know, 5 to 10%. It's not a bear, because these are actually, people don't just say, oh, we're in a bear market because the stocks went down. They have to go down a certain percentage for it to be considered that. But even in the middle, you know, we'll have some small corrections on the way up, and you have to anticipate that and know that it's part of the journey. It's part of that 10% realized like annual the gains over 90 years of the S&P 500. It takes into account all of the bull and bear and corrections we've had over 90 years. Like, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then lastly, they are mentioning casting a wide net to catch potential winners. That's just another way of talking about diversification and just driving home this idea that when you buy a stock, you own the risk and the growth potential of that business. So if the business performs well, your shares rise in value. If not, your share values sink. So they're talking about casting that wide net of diversification. And they've described that if you diversify your portfolio with just as few as 12 stocks, that's great. But you can also do that through an ETF, through an index fund. You don't have to be picking and choosing 12 different stocks. You can have diversification through some of the things we've already talked about.
Yeah. And the great thing about ETFs and index funds is if they're is a sector that you love, like if you're in healthcare and you're passionate about healthcare or you're passionate about sustainability, you can choose ETFs and index funds that are sector specific. And that's really a preference thing. Like, there's no strategy, you know, that I'm going to recommend to do that. That's really all playing around in whatever you're passionate about. But you have the power to leave out entire industries when you're investing and still get a broad range of investments using ETFs and index funds. They are so, they have been so customized and so like really well done at this point. Like, all, you know, the brokerages are doing really great things with how they're designing these funds and how they're almost customizing them, that there really is almost something for almost everyone.
That's cool.
At this point.
Yeah. Do you have any final words for our friends on, okay, I might want to look into some ETFs in my retirement portfolio. Where to begin?
So I would say going to your brokerage, your Fidelity, Vanguard, Schwab, whatever, and, you know, kind of figuring out how to buy them. Use YouTube. There will be walkthroughs probably on your specific brokerage on how to purchase funds. Because I think the most important thing is when you put money into your Roth IRA, you then have to invest it, right?
We all know that now. Yep. Yeah,
we know that always, now. You can always exchange it for something else later, right? You're not locked in when you buy an S&P 500 ETF. That does not mean you own it forever. You can exchange it for whatever you want, whenever you want. So the important part is to get in there and get it invested. Don't just leave it in the, essentially it's a high yield savings account that's in the Roth area where your money just sits until you invest it. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's the most important thing, is to get it into the Roth IRA and get it invested before the deadline. At least, I mean, honestly, you just have to get the money into that, you know, the special high yield savings account before the deadline. But don't leave it there. Get it invested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what we also don't want to leave, and we want to invest.
We don't want to just sit there with this. We really want to utilize it. We want to invest it.
The bill of the week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the bill of the week.
Hi, Jen and Jill. This is Jody, and I have a bill of the week. We had about $1,500 left in our FSA for 2023 and wanted to make sure to take advantage of that. And so we decided to take the money from our savings account and pay the balance of our daughter's orthodontist bill. So we did that, and that bill was paid. Then we took that receipt and submitted it to our FSA, and that money was back in our savings account like 3 days later. And then on top of that, we took the amount that we were paying every month, which was $145. And since we don't have that bill anymore, we decided to just send that $145 straight into an IRA, since we are used to paying that every month. So there is my bill of the week. Thanks, Jen and Jill, for everything you do.
We did not listen to this before we put this in the episode. Thank you, Jody, for basically just saying everything we've been saying.
Jody, you're doing the challenge.
You did it. Yeah.
And you found ways with it, with money you already were allocating somewhere, then getting smart with that, how to reallocate it towards other goals. Just well done. I'm so glad that your daughter's orthodontic bill is paid off. Mm-hmm. And now you're contributing more to your IRA. That's amazing.
Yes. And people might ask, like, what's the benefit of using, because you do put that money into the FSA. It's really, you save money on taxes when you do it that way, when you just funnel it to the FSA and then back. But FSAs are use it or lose it. HSAs can actually grow with you. So if they had an HSA, they could have just saved the receipt from that and then let the money grow in the HSA, triple tax advantage, so they say. I won't get into it, but and then use that money later, use that receipt later on when you take money out of the HSA after it's grown, then you just submit the receipt then and you get to benefit from all the growth of that money gets compound interest.
I mean, it sounds, Jody, like you timed this all well.
Yeah. But
I think it's worth highlighting some of those differences for anybody else listening in.
Nobody asked, but I just thought I'd tell you.
It. Yeah,
but I mean, yes, Jody, that's so great. Using
FSA, HSA, oh my, that's a whole other episode.
Okay. It'll come later in the year. But yeah, using money that you already had allocated somewhere instead of using it just, you know, giving yourself the opportunity to increase your lifestyle mm-hmm. if you don't need it, putting it towards your IRA. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Beautiful. Well done. I'm celebrating. If you all listening want to submit your bill about increasing your contributions to your retirement investment accounts, or you're just Bill. You didn't even know how you found yourself here, but we're calling you out. You hear your name. Visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Leave us your bill.
You might remember from our budget apps episode, we mentioned Monarch Money as being one of the best apps for people switching from Mint.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
The switch from budgeting with Mint to Monarch is easy since Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint, keeping all of your tags and categories intact. It's also super customizable. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners on this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial. Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards, a free flight, a room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
And now it's time for the lightning round. Pew, 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 pew.
All right. In today's vulnerability round, Jill. Can you share an unreasonable fear you have about bears?
I love this question. It's so vague. It's like our Bill of the Week
unreasonable
segment.
Unreasonable.
I think I do have a lot of fears about bears, although I do love them. I'd love to see one out in the wild, although not really. I got so many bear stories.
Do you?
I'm realizing I do. Like, as you're asking me this bear question,
share my a bear life story.
Okay, well, it's a bear adjacent story.
Everything actually is adjacent with you.
So I was in Alaska one time.
Oh, yes.
And we were walking. We were on a walk. Me and three other people and a dog. And it was just before hibernation. So summer was just coming to a close. It was shoulder season. I'm pointing to my shoulder. Shoulder season. So there were still bears out and about, but getting the last
bits
of food.
They were sleepy.
Maybe, sure. So we're all walking. One of the people who's walking with us lives there. So she kind of knows what's up. But as we walk, we hear the deepest, most guttural growl I have ever heard in my life. And if you would have asked me previously, Jill, do you want to see a bear out in the wild? I would have said yes. I'll still say yes to this day, but now from the comfort of my car, actually. We're out in the wild, even though we got four people and a dog with us. immediate fear just crippling and radiating through my body. Like, it sounded so close, and this growl was so menacing, and we all stopped. Even the girl who's from Alaska was like, what is going on? We were all in fight, flight, freeze, fawn mode. And then it quickly registers for the woman who's from Alaska. Oh no, that's not a bear. That's a bird. There's a bird in Alaska who growls like a bear. And how unfair is that?
How unfair?
Like,
not unfair for the bird.
It's unfair for everybody.
Yeah.
Probably including the bird in some ways.
Like, but that's how it wasn't
you
a bear.
Gonna play with me and make a bird sound like a bear? It's unrealistic.
One of God's many jokes.
But it really did kind of highlight to me how I would respond if there was a bear. But then I do often think, and so when we were there, you know, they talk about how you want to respond to different bears, like black. There's a whole poem about it, but like, you want to like stand your ground with black bears, you want to play dead with brown bears, you want to just like give up on life with polar bears. Like, there's no telling. Like, that's it. You're done. You're ended. But so brown bears, like life. The grizzly bears are the ones who will drag you back to their lair, leave you there, and then come back later. So they're a little bit more smart about it. But if you play dead, you have chances of still living. So there are stories of people who will get drug off by grizzly bears. They play dead somehow, some way, and then are able to run off when the grizzly walks away. That is one of my most terrifying, like, someday I'm going to have to play dead in the midst of a grizzly bear. I don't think I could. I just,
there's your unreasonable
fear. I don't
fear.
Think I could. You couldn't play dead. Actually play dead.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
Oh, wow. I have an unreasonable fear of falling from high places. So I won't stand near the edge of anything, even with adequately high railings. I just have a fear of going over. And so when we see the bears at the zoo, I don't go near any edges.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have an unreasonable fear of falling over into the bear pit.
Yeah, that's like, for me, intrusive thoughts. Not that I'm going to fall over, but I'm going to jump in. Like, there's going to be something where my body compels me to jump in and I'm not going to be able to stop myself. Like, I have those intrusive thoughts too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine are not voluntary.
And you know, if my fears are birds that are bears. And yours is
playing dead. No, your true fear, yeah, we unpacked true. That. And your true fear is the meaning fear of being able to play dead.
Will I be able to play dead? So the bird, though, is called a Bohemian waxwing. And it's AKA the grizzly bear bird.
Bohemian waxwing. I would love to be a Bohemian waxwing.
Happy International Women's Day. We're just out here scaring people, but still being birds.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to that tangent.
Wow. That's a good lightning round. Thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you're still here. Although if you're not still here, that's okay, too.
Okay. You got what you needed. Yeah.
We love being here with you, and we also love reading your reviews, especially when they're really kind, like this one that came from KJ Salmon.
Oh, hey, yeah. Yo. KJ Salmon.
That's perfect. It's very Alaskan-themed, on brand.
Perfect.
Lots of helpful nuggets. It's another type of food I like.
I love nuggets.
I really enjoy listening to Jen and Jill's idea on budgeting, saving, and spending. Not everything pertains to my financial life, but I find it interesting all the same. I also like that they cover a wide range of topics, from buying a home to a car to starting your own freelance business. It ends there. You're right. We are all over the place. When we will talk about Bohemian waxwing, aka grizzly bear birds. Yeah. And you just never know what you're going to get, but hopefully some helpful investing entertainment.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to leave a rating and review. If you've already rated and reviewed on Apple, head over to Spotify and leave us a rating. It helps potential new listeners know that the show is good. according to some people.
The show is okay.
Yes.
And worth it.
Yes. It's 5 out of 10 stars. 5 out of 10.
See you next time.
Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni.
I don't think that's what people expected to get from us in that episode.
I don't think it's what I expected to get from us.
Do you want to know what I almost said as my first lightning round answer?
Yes.
Is teddy bears with cameras in them.
Oh, yeah. That is a legit fear. But when you're watching, what is it, Law & Order SVU? I think one of the episodes was they caught a perp because they had teddy bear with camera footage.
Yeah. I guess I only have to be afraid of that, like, if I'm a nanny doing shady stuff. But still.
Which you probably would be.
Sometimes when I'm in other people's houses, I'm like, where's the camera?
Where's the nanny cam? They go wash me.
Better be on my best behavior.
You just, if it's in the bathroom, you just put it face down. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And then just the rest is don't do illegal stuff on camera.
Yeah.
Kind of like these people on TikTok and Instagram doing illegal things and then recording them. Like, I heard about this guy who was living in a storage unit and saving a lot of money, and he was just recording and went viral, his storage unit setup for living.
Whoa.
And then he got evicted from the storage unit because it's against the terms of services.
Sure.
On the storage unit.
That sounds right.
Yeah. And you were doing, like, you were saving so much money, you were doing so many.
And then you decided to record yourself.
Right. And then you put the illegal stuff on the internet. And that was your second mistake. Mm-hmm. The world has grace for first mistakes, but not for second. The internet, I mean, not the world, the internet.
Yeah. I mean, living in a storage unit, that's an option, I guess.
Yeah. I think the moral of the story that I was learning from the internet was that wait to post the illegal things that you're recording, yes, until after you're no longer doing them.
That'll be like us. All of the extra recordings that we have that we never released, all of our mic checks that are a little bit salacious at times,
where I sing,
when this whole thing goes to crap,
implodes,
as it inevitably will.
Yep.
When the Frugal Friends hits its own extended bear market.
When we become the Vanderpump Rules
we
show.
We are canceled.
We're just going to release it all.
Yeah. Then we'll give you even more reason to cancel us.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.